How are we doing this morning? Blessed. Amen. Do we survive that first heat wave to let us know summer's coming? It was a warm one. It's going to continue getting more and more. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans. We are in chapter 2. And before we step into this next passage, I want to just pray for us and then just go through where we have been, okay? So let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would guide us through your word. I pray that you would be with us as we continue reading the book of Romans and just open our hearts and open our minds to you, Lord, this morning. As always, we thank you for who you are, what you're doing in our lives, Lord. And I just pray that we would continue to worship you through reading your word and just learning more about you in our life. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week we finished up this first chapter in Romans, and Paul was showing us this sober picture of humanity, you know, without God. It's a world has rejected its creator, and exchanging truth and lies for glory and shame. And he exposed not only these outward sins of culture, but this inward rebellion of our human nature and our human heart. And he left us with this inescapable truth in his message that we all need rescue. We all need God. And Romans 1 showed us that the Gentile world has no excuse, that they see God's power in creation, and they still turn away. But now in Romans 2, Paul shifts his attention because he's not talking about this oblivious or obviously immoral. He's talking about the moralists. Now he's over talking about the religious, the self-righteous, those who looked at Romans 1 and said, "Amen, Paul, preach it." But then they forgot to look in the mirror themselves. So this next section of Paul's letter confronts this hidden danger of hypocrisy. Is it just hitting my mouth? Of hypocrisy. And it reveals something even deeper. The God who sees, the God who judges righteously, and the God who desires hearts fully to turn towards him. So as we continue this morning in Romans, we're going to start in chapter 2, and we're going to be going through verses 1 through 16 this morning. So if you're there with me, let's read together. It says, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are law for themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. So let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been quick to judge someone else, only to realize later that you were guilty of the very same thing? And maybe in not the same way, but in the same spirit. You see, it's easy for us to see other people's sin, but it's much harder to see our own, especially when we don't look into the mirror and assess our life. And yet, Paul continues in his letter to the Romans, he makes one thing crystal clear, that God sees it all, and his judgment is fair, holy, and true. So today, as we walk through Romans 2, in these first chapters, I want to give three key moments, each one just revealing this something vital about God's character in our life, our own hearts, and the hope we have through Jesus Christ because of it. So first, God's judgment is impartial. Okay? Paul begins with these strong words. He says, "You therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else for what at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself." So he's now addressing the one who says, "I'm not like them," the moral person, the religious insider, the one who looks respectable on the outside, but hides the same pride and rebellion within. He's talking to them now. And Paul says clearly, when you judge others and do the same things, you show your own guilt. God's judgment isn't based on appearance or reputation. It's based on truth. So he continues with a sharp question. "Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" This is striking the hearts of those who are self-righteous in religion. Because God's kindness is not a license to keep sinning. It's an opportunity to turn back to him. Okay? Think about it. His patience. This is turned off. But his patience is not approval. It's mercy. And Paul is warning us to not waste God's mercy. Because when God is waiting, when he is patiently saying, "Turn back, please. Come to me, please. Turn from your evil ways." And he's showing mercy in that. It is not allowing us to say, okay, I have time. Let me do whatever I want. Let me have whatever I want. Let me be whoever I want. Because the day will come when we are going to be judged based on our heart. So too often we take grace for granted. We assume we're fine because we go to church, we read the Bible, or because we haven't committed sins. And when we say we haven't committed big sins, we're comparing ourselves to others. We're comparing ourselves. Comparing ourselves to others and what they're doing. And we say, oh, well, at least I haven't murdered somebody. You're condemning yourself in that. This sin isn't that bad. At least I haven't done that. But God sees the secrets of our hearts. And he's after genuine repentance. Remember that, okay? He's after genuine repentance, not spiritual performance. He's not after, how many Sundays did you go to church? How many prayers did you say at dinner? How many times did you tuck in your children and say, let me pray for you tonight? No, that's part of it. That's an outward expression of our worship and our faith, yes. But what God is asking is, how was your heart? When no one else was around, how did you think? How did you act? How did you treat others? How did you treat others silently when no one else was listening? How did you treat others when driving on the freeway and all the windows were rolled up? I'm guilty of that too. I'm like, nobody heard me. I'm like, God heard everything. But we take his grace for granted when we do that. So let's pause and reflect on this. What would it look like if we really let kindness, the kindness of God, lead us to true repentance? Not guilt-tripping ourselves, not comparing ourselves to others, but turning towards a God who welcomes broken hearts and transforms them with mercy. If we turn towards him. And then secondly, as we continue on in verses 5 through 11, God's judgment is based on deeds, but not in the way that some people think. Okay, so next Paul presses deeper. He says, because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. And these are hard words to hear, but they're not meant to push us away. They're meant to wake us up. Because a lot of times we need a spiritual awakening. We need to say, oh, I've been hiding this for so long. I've been acting Christian for so long. And Paul explains that God will repay each person according to what they have done. But we need to understand this rightly, okay? Paul is not saying we earn salvation through works, okay? But what Paul is saying, the message of Romans, the whole New Testament, is that salvation is by grace through faith. But here's the point. What we do reveals what we believe. How we act reveals our heart and how we believe in God. Our actions are the fruit of our faith. And if we truly believe in Jesus, if we truly believe in what he did, and we believe in the words, our lives will begin to reflect his righteousness. So Paul describes these two groups. He says, one, those who seek glory, honor, and immortality, by doing good, they will receive eternal life. But those who are self-seeking and reject truth, they will face wrath and anger. So again, this isn't about achieving righteousness. It's about revealing the heart. And what we pursue, how we act, shows who we serve. So the question is, in our life, who are we serving? Are we serving God? When people look at us, when people talk to us, when people are around us, do we show them that we serve the one true God? Or are we showing them that we serve other things? That we've placed other things above God? But then Paul continues and he drops this line. He says, for God does not show favoritism. So remember this, guys. There is no backstage passes into heaven. There's no VIP purchasing. If you purchase ahead of time, you get to sit down with the band before. There's none of that. There's no cultural, religious, or personal resume that gets you a free pass. Whether you grew up in church every day of your life or simply just walked in today, God will look at your heart. And he judges impartially. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us here and now? It means that our faith must be revealed. Our faith must be lived. Our faith must be visible, but not to impress God, but because we know we are loved by him. So are we living out our faith? Are we living out our lives to visibly show people that we are saved by grace and mercy? Do our actions, do our lifestyle, does our life reflect this to people? And the last part of this section that we're reading today, God's judgment is according to knowledge. And what it means by Paul continues by talking about these two groups. And what do they understand? Those who have the law, the Jews, and those who don't, the Gentiles. It says, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. So here's the idea. We are accountable to the truth that we know. And that is an amazing thing. But it's also a scary thing. Because what it means is the Jews had the law of Moses, correct? The Jews had the law, but they didn't always keep it. The Gentiles didn't have the law, but they had a conscience. And both groups are accountable. So Paul says that even those who have never read the Ten Commandments, even those who still have never heard the gospel, still have a sense of right and wrong. And their conscience bears witness. Their thoughts sometimes accuse, however, and sometimes they excuse them. So based on the knowledge you have, based on the understanding you have, there's nothing that's going to allow you to say, I didn't know. Because we all were created in a way to understand right from wrong. Whether you don't know Christ in your life, I'm sure you know that running out and hitting someone in the face is probably a wrong thing to do in most circumstances. But we know, we have a conscience that tells us something wrong with this. This isn't right. So we're judged, it's based off of our knowledge, how we live. And then he says something stunning. Paul says something stunning in this, and he says, this will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ. So it's not only looking at our outward behavior, it's not only looking at who we are, how we're acting, how we're behaving as people, but it's also our secrets, our thoughts, our motives, our hidden places that we think nobody knows about, but God does. So this is, it's one of those catch-22s or a double-edged sword. It's both terrifying and hopeful to know, because nothing is hidden. So it's terrifying because nothing is hidden. Have you ever heard of that, you know, when all things done in darkness will come to light? So because nothing is hidden, it can be a terrifying thought. However, it is hopeful because the judge is also our Savior. Only Jesus can see the truth and the whole truth of our lives. And only Jesus can offer the mercies that we so desperately need. So Romans 2, this chapter that we're beginning, is like a mirror. It forces us to look not at others, but at ourselves. It forces us to take accountability. It forces us to take action and say, what do I need to do? It confronts our hypocrisy, our pride, our religious marks, or our religious masks. And it calls us back, not to shame, but to repentance. So this sermon is not meant to crush you, not meant to be like, bad person. But it is meant to wake us up. It is meant to wake us up in a way to say, we need to look into a mirror at times. Because sometimes we get stuck in this rhythm of, hey, look at what you're doing wrong. Hey, look at what you're doing wrong. Did you see what this person did the other day? That is so sinful. And while you're doing that and judging somebody and talking about somebody, you yourself are going to be held in condemnation because of the sin that you are committing by doing that. Because as a body of Christ, we are supposed to what? Lift each other up. Go to our friends and say, hey, this isn't right. But let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me step in with you. Let's bring this, let's read together. Let's find it out. I don't know exactly why, but let's read. Let's talk. Let's help each other out. It's to remind us of the one who sees our secrets. But he is also the one who shed his blood for our salvation. So in our lives, we don't have to hide. We don't have to perform, and we don't have to earn. We simply have to come to Christ. We simply need to live for Christ. We simply need to understand who Christ is. The more we understand who Christ is, the more we understand the Bible, the more we read the Word of God, that's when we start to change. Because when we come to Jesus, we come in honesty. We come with all our sin, and we come to the one who judges righteously because he knows all. But it's also because he saves completely. Because he paid for our sins. So we don't need to worry about, I can only give you this much. I can only say this much out loud. I can only offer this much because I can't bear to let you know how messed up I've become. And Jesus is like, I know everything. Just lay it down. Quit carrying it. I've already paid for it. Quit holding on to it. Come to Jesus. Come honestly with your sin. So let God's kindness lead you to repentance today. Let his truth strip away the masks that we're hiding behind, because we feel that everyone has to see us in a certain way. In reality, we should want people to see us completely bare before Christ. Because then when they say, why are you doing that? Why are you just falling to him? Then we have the ability to turn to them and say, because he saved me, because he has mercy for me. And when we hide the fact that we are sinful in nature, when we hide behind the masks of, I do great, this week is wonderful, I went to church, I went to Bible study, I prayed every day, I read my Bible every day, and you're like, I'm doing wonderful. When we put ourselves in that position and we realize we need to come before God, when we need to kneel before him and ask for forgiveness of our sins, we hold back from that, because then we're like, ooh, I've been telling everyone around me that I'm doing fine. And now when I'm being asked to come forward to God, I can't do it because I can't let people know that I've been lying to them this whole time. So we need to just bear it all and say, Jesus, take me. Take control. And then when people ask us why we let this happen, we're like, I'm sinful too, but Christ saved me. And Christ is here for me. And Christ is what makes me whole, and I'm going to be here for Christ. When people walk into our church or any church, I don't want them to see religious, happy people. I want them to see broken people who need a savior. Because when they come in, I want them to realize and understand that they are broken too, and this is a place where they belong, not a place where they're scared to be because of how we have created it behind the mask. Because one day, every secret will be judged. But today, mercy is still available. And we need to show God's mercy through our life. So if you've been hiding behind a religious mask, if you've been hiding behind something in your life, take today, take right now, and just drop it. Take it off and drop it. Let it go. If you've been playing the comparison game, if you've been playing the, well, I'm not doing the big sins, stop it. If you've been trying to look good on the outside while ignoring the inside, today is your day to come clean. Not to be condemned, but to be cleansed. Because Jesus sees the real you. And in seeing the real you, he invites you in. His judgment is real, but so is his mercy. So we need to run to him. Be made new, and let our life reflect his righteousness by him living through us. Because the same Jesus who will judge the world one day is the same Jesus who stretched out his arms to save it. So imagine standing before God, not with your Sunday best, not with your whole, but with instead, not with your Sunday best, but instead with your whole heart laid out. Just bare for him. And imagine Jesus looking at you, not with condemnation, but instead compassion. Imagine hearing these words from Jesus. You are mine. Covered, cleansed, righteous. Not because of you, but because of me. So this is the gospel message. This is Romans. This is the hope we see in Romans 2, that it is the invitation to come, believe, repent, and walk in the righteousness of God. But not to earn grace, because grace has already come. So we always say, and I mention it multiple times, but at Antioch Wesleyan Church, our mission is simple and clear, I hope. And it's to what? Love God, love people, reach the world. And today, after hearing Paul's words in Romans 2, we're reminded that this mission does not begin with judging others, but with allowing God to search our own hearts. And we've heard today through this that God's judgment is righteous, impartial, and sees even the secrets that we hide. And yet, this righteous judge, Jesus Christ, is also our merciful Savior. His kindness leads us to repentance, not rejection. His grace doesn't excuse sin, but transforms sinners. And we need to respond. So that's why in this year, we are continuing to move forward with our vision of Grow 55 and 25. To not just grow numerically by 55 people, but also grow spiritually in our life and become people who reflect Jesus more authentically to the community around us. And we grow by what? Giving intentionally, because God has given us mercy that we didn't first deserve. We don't give out of guilt, but we give out of gratitude. We reach continually not from a place of self-righteousness, but from the humility of people who know they too were lost and now are found. We obey faithfully, not with outward performance, but with inward repentance and a genuine love for God. And we worship deeply, not with empty songs or appearances, but with hearts laid before God, before a Savior who sees and still saves. So we're not growing by pretending we have it all together. We're growing by dropping the masks, by coming clean, by coming closer to God, and by inviting others to do the same. And this is how we will grow in 2025. Not just by numbers, but by the depth of our surrender to the authenticity of our faith. I'm glad I got that word out. That was the one sentence, I have it highlighted, that was the one sentence that I thought was going to get me. Ching, bazinga. Megan don't know why. But we need to be a church that lives out the gospel that we proclaim. That loves people not just in word, but in truth. And that reaches the world, not with judgment, but the message of a judge who became our Redeemer. So I pray that we let God's kindness lead us to true repentance, and that repentance fuels a revival in our life, in our church, and in the world around us. So let's grow, let's give, let's reach, let's obey, let's worship, and let's be the people of God that reflect the heart of God. So this morning, as we move into this last song, we're going to continue, and we are wanting to remember what Jesus Christ has done. So I want to challenge us this morning to make this our starting point. And if you need a starting point every day, do it. If you need a starting point every Sunday, do it. But let's together, collectively, make today a starting point for us, for our church. Because when we take communion together, we are remembering that through God, through Jesus' life, we are forgiven, and the sins that we commit in our lives are forgiven
if we choose to accept him. If we choose to accept Christ into our hearts and turn away from our old life of sin and striving to live worthy before God. So during this next song, I want us to prepare our hearts for communion. And while we pass out communion, I want us to just take a moment before we take communion after the song to truly just pray. Seek God. Ask with a repenting heart for forgiveness in our life. Because we as a church, we as people in this building, and I say it because we're sitting here together, let's be truthful for a minute, and those online, we need to look into the mirror first if we're going to make a change in the community out there. And we need to reflect the image of God to each other and in our church, so when people come in, they see God. When we go out, they see God through our life. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now for your guidance and wisdom. I pray that you help us to live the lives that bring you honor and bring honor to your name and to be a light in this world that we live. I pray that you give us strength to stand against the immorality around us and to lovingly hold each other accountable and guide us as we strive to live a life that is pleasing to you. And Lord, I pray this morning for the hearts and minds of those who have heard your message. I pray that there are those, if there's those who want to make a commitment to you this morning, or if they want to rededicate their lives to you this morning, that they would pray this prayer of salvation in their hearts. Because you have forgiven us of our sin for those who choose to accept you, Jesus Christ, into our hearts. I pray this morning that you would guide those individuals and give them strength and the courage to take this step forward and commit to you. And if you're here this morning and you just want to say, Lord, I need you. I need to commit to you. I need to live for you. I need to reflect you. And if that is you this morning, I pray that you would pray this prayer with me. And you can just repeat this to yourself or out loud while we pray. And it's just to say, Lord, I confess my sins, and I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray you come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Take complete control of my life and guide me and to walk in your footsteps daily by the power of the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you've given us on the cross. Thank you for who you are and what you've done. In your name we pray. Amen.